Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to People of Interest on CKUW 95.9 FM. It is 8:25, and I'm joined by Mary Robinson from Council of Canadians and Dennis Nevu, who is a retired nuclear waste management researcher. And I guess we're actually here to talk about fracking and upcoming events, and we'll tackle what fracking is. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So I guess, Mary, we'll talk about, why the Council of Canadians is tackling this issue. Well, not why, but...
Why is good.
That you are.
Yeah. I can answer why. I don't know. Because it's bad. Council has a long history of water, working with water issues and supporting... Indigenous people in particular in the fight for the right to the land and the water. Fracking is possibly one of the worst things we've ever done to the water. Dennis will tell you more of the details, of course. And so that's probably, I think that's our newest campaign here in Manitoba that we're going to be working on. And nationally, it's been a huge issue in several provinces with... like violent or nearly violent responses to protests, that sort of thing. It's, yeah.
Right. Now, I guess let's start locally in Manitoba. Dennis, is fracking happening already
in
this province?
Oh, yes. It's happening in southwest Manitoba. Last year, almost 600 horizontal wells were drilled, and they're projected to continue at that pace or even more as time goes on.
Okay, so now you say horizontal wells. As I would see it, usually we drill straight down. So why are they called horizontal?
Well, what happens is they're interested in the shale layers that are about 800 to 1,200 meters below the surface, and they drill vertically till they hit those formations, and then drill horizontally up to 2 kilometers into the formation. And they drill multiple holes all beside each other. And the idea is that once they get these holes drilled, they'll push fracking fluid into the holes at tremendous pressure to frack or crack the shale layers so that they can get the oil and gas out. Normally, the oil and gas won't come out of shale because it's very tightly bound. They need to push this fracking fluid in at tremendous pressures to open up cracks in or fractures in the rock so that the oil and gas will flow out. So they need the horizontal wells to do that.
Right. So now, fracking fluid, what's important about the fracking fluid?
Well, it comes from fresh water from the surface, and it's mixed with fracking chemicals, which usually the oil companies won't divulge the chemicals they use, and it mixed with sand, and it's pumped down with compressors at tremendous pressure and pushed into the formation. Some of it stays there, some of it comes back up when they start sucking up the oil and gas, but the fracking fluid that comes back up, the water is separated out and pumped back down into the same formations or deeper. So that fresh water that originally came from our reserves on the surface is sent down deep into the earth, and so it's taken out of the freshwater reserves, and it's also made toxic.
Right. Okay, so now what can be extracted from a fracking operation?
It's oil and gas. In Manitoba, they're after the oil, but 'cause it's more economically advantageous, right. But for every liter of oil, there's 25 liters of gas that comes with it. And in Manitoba, at the present time, when they bring that gas up, it's sent to flare. So it's burned off in flare stacks. And it's sour gas. So that means it contains hydrogen sulfide, which is a deadly neurotoxin. When they burn it, most of that hydrogen sulfide will go to sulfur dioxide, which is forms acid rain when it falls. So it's an environmental pollutant, as well as the burned products of the gas. One of the concerns of burning it is you get a lot of carbon dioxide out, just like if you burned it in your house, which adds to our CO2 burden. But the flaring is only about 60 to 80% efficient, so you also get unburned gas, which is even more potent greenhouse gas. Methane is 20 times more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide, and unburnt volatiles. So it's an air pollution aspect.
Right. Now, some listeners may have seen Gasland, where people that live near these fracking wells can actually light their water on fire, where methane or other chemicals pollute the water table.
Yes. Well, in Manitoba, that hasn't happened that we know of. The difficulty in fracking is in a normal gas deposit, there's what they call a cap rock, and the gas is trapped underneath, and when you it can't leak out because it's held there by the cap rock. That's why it's there. In fracking, a cap rock would normally be shale because it's impermeable. Well, they're fracking the shale. They're cracking it up. So there's a lot of gas released, and that will go off into the formations. And it's gas is very mobile underground, and it tends to work its way up. In these other locations, that's what's happened. It's the gas that's leaked into the formations has worked its way to the surface and is sucked up by wells. And this has happened in several locations. It's happened as well in Alberta, where they're fracking coal seams. In Alberta, it's quite shallow. In other areas like the Marcellus Shales in the U.S., their shale layers are as deep or deeper than ours, and they've correlated methane in well water there with the fracking operations. So it's definitely a concern. In Manitoba, our deposits are fairly deep, so there are barriers in between, impermeable barriers that slow down this progress, but they can go up through old wells whose seals have failed, and the seals are normally concrete, so they won't last forever. Concrete is not a geochemically stable substance, and also they usually have casings in them which are steel, which will also corrode. So it may be just a matter of time. The bigger danger in Manitoba is the gas is sour. In the Marcellus, it's not. So in Manitoba, we have this deadly hydrogen sulfide component that makes it, in that sense, more dangerous. However, we haven't seen leakage yet, but if it'll occur and to what extent it will occur is unknown. Really, there's no study to determine the potential for that.
Right. So, anybody just tuning in, I'm speaking to Mary Robinson from Council of Canadians and Dennis Neveu.
Leneveu.
Sorry. So sorry.
That's all right.
Who is a retired nuclear waste researcher. Dennis, did you... Are you now researching fracking?
Okay, well, at the end of my career at Atomic Energy, I got into consulting, and I did some consulting for carbon dioxide sequestration in Weyburn, which is similar to the processes we're doing here, and they wanted to know about the potential for leakage of carbon dioxide. And it's the same with fracking. There's a potential for leakage. And for carbon dioxide, it will leak up mostly well bores. And the same can happen in fracking. The natural gas can leak up well bores. In Weyburn, they're using carbon dioxide for what is called enhanced oil recovery. They push it underground to mobilize the oil. But they want to leave it there in big volumes after they're done in the oil field and sequester it underground, and hopefully they'll get carbon credits for this. So that's what they're interested in. But it's a related topic.
Right. Hey, so that topic, what were the findings there? Is that something that's safe and is a possibility?
Well, it's a possibility, but there are many problems with it. And one of the biggest problems is when you put carbon dioxide in an oil field. Oil fields are penetrated by thousands, sometimes 10,000s of wells that some are going to eventually leak. So the carbon dioxide is going to leak in these formations. The question is, to what extent? Also, it's just a practicality issue. There's an idea of trapping the carbon dioxide from a coal-fired plant with the chemical process and then injecting it underground, which is very expensive, and it's just not economically viable. Also, to put it in the ground is very resistive, and it takes a lot of pressure, and you can't overpressurize the system, you'll crack the rocks. So it takes a long time to fill up a reservoir. So there's many issues involved with carbon dioxide sequestration that make it doubtful whether it's really a feasible process.
All right, so Mary, we haven't forgotten you.
That's right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. So now the Council of Canadians is tackling this issue because of I'm sorry, we didn't say the amount of water that fracking could possibly use to withdraw that.
That's a difficult question. In Manitoba, the oil companies are not required to record or report the amount of fresh water used for fracking. The government estimates the amount. The estimate that I've heard is 1,000 cubic meters per well. In the Bakken Formation that extends into Manitoba that they're fracking both here in North Dakota, there's been detailed studies in North Dakota that says it's over 10,000, over 10 times the amount that they use per well than in Manitoba. So that's a good question. The fact is, it's not really known for sure because it's simply not asked to be recorded. They do have a lot of the fresh water there comes from the Oak Lake Aquifer, which is at the oil fields. And they do have observation wells that aren't showing a decrease in water levels yet. That
it's
may be
yet.
Fortunate because we're in a wet cycle. So, but it's definitely being, fresh water is definitely being taken out in large quantities.
Right. Which is of concern for Council of Canadians and many Indigenous groups across the country and across the United States. So, how is the Council of Canadians involved?
Well, we have, as you know, chapters right across the country, and individual chapters have taken on this issue. There's fantastic information at Canadians.org in much more detail than I could possibly pull out at this hour of the morning for me. One thing that definitely stands out is in Quebec. Quebec chose to place a moratorium on fracking because of environmental concerns. And the corporation that was involved there, Lone Pine, has taken them to the trade tribunal under NAFTA because, of course, the moratorium on fracking is preventing Lone Pine from increasing their profits. And that's what trade agreements allow you to do. You know, at this point, I have to mention CETA, which is still under negotiation. That's the trade agreement, or really trade deal is a better term, going on between Canada and the European Union right now. And obviously, when that's in place, it's just going to make the whole situation with fracking and other resources extraction even worse in terms of corporations having more rights to be able to pursue that. Here in Manitoba, concerning fracking, we do have just the beginnings of a campaign. We'd like to, our hope was to stop it before it began, a little bit late for that, but we still want to stop it. October 19th, there's it's the global frackdown. So around the world, there's going to be events, and there is going to be something here in Winnipeg. Stay tuned at CanadiansWinnipeg.org for the details on that. And, good time to mention the meeting. We have a meeting tonight of Council of Canadians at the Social Planning Council office at, please check the address for me. I think it's 207. Is it 207?
Donald and St.
Mary's. Yes. Yeah. It's the building right on the corner there. And it's at 6:30. p.m. We will be discussing our fracking campaign. We will also have from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock our Prairie Regional Conference call. And we'll hear from some of the other chapters in Saskatchewan and Alberta who have been much more active on this fracking battle for some time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, there's just one more thing, Dennis, I want you to answer. There was a concern that was raised over spraying and farmland and how... Now, I'm not quite sure exactly what's happening. So what did that Winnipeg Free Press article tackle?
Okay, this is another aspect of fracking that isn't well known. When they drill those horizontal wells and the vertical wells, they're going to pulverize the rock. And they also inject their own drilling mud and drilling chemicals. And that pulverized rock and drilling mud and chemicals are drawn up to the surface. And they come with, saturated with the deep saline brine that's down in those formations. And, they spray this drilling mud onto the agricultural fields. There are regulations in place in Manitoba to regulate the spray rates, and the companies have to send in a report about the concentrations of the salts and heavy metals and other chemicals in the fluids and the mud before they spray it, and they're supposed to dilute it to acceptable levels, and then they spray it out onto the land. Now, this is cropland and pasture land. The article in the Free Press stated that there was a complaint by a farmer that his wheat wouldn't grow. There's also, after spraying, there's also legislation in place that says if the farmland is damaged, the oil companies are responsible for paying for the remediation, and it's what they call complaint-driven. I'd asked for the petroleum branch for figures on the volume of sprayed and the land coverage, the area sprayed, and I didn't get a response on that. But that's definitely going on. The other aspect of this is when they pull up the oil and gas, they pull up, for every liter of oil, there's 4.5 liters of saline water that come out. Now that water, they has to be injected deep back into the earth in where it came from. And that's called saline injection. But the drilling mud that contains the same saline water and the same heavy metals and the same type of contaminants, plus more from the drilling chemicals and drill mud, is sprayed out onto the land. Now, the main reason I can see for this is you can't inject drill mud deep into the ground. It won't pump. So...
why not just contain it?
You see, that's the other issue. To properly contain it and dispose of it is very expensive. You have to collect it. You have to dig pits. You have to line them. The cheapest thing to do is simply spray it on the land adjacent to where they get it. And the philosophy is if you dilute it enough, it'll be considered safe, or will be safe. So that's the philosophy that is being in place. It's always an economic driver. For instance, the reason they flare all that gas is it's simply too expensive to collect it and send it to market. Also in Manitoba, they're encouraging fracking by putting royalty holidays on new fracks. So it's an economic issue to a large extent. There's also solid material that comes out of drill waste, sludge, some of the fracking sand that's pulled up. And that is trucked off to landfill. But again, it's very difficult to determine where it's disposed of and what quantities.
And the safety behind it. Of course, we could get into an entire show based on the legislation and the And the rules behind mining and mineral extraction, that is the manifest destiny of all things underground. But unfortunately, we've run out of time.
Okay.
Dennis, Mary, thank you so much for coming on this morning. Mary, one last time, what are the events that people need to look out for and how they can participate?
Well, our meeting tonight, it would be the best possible thing, and that's at 6:30 at the Social Planning Council office. And then there is coming up in the beginning of October, Elizabeth May is going to be here, and there's also Idle No More is continuing with some Water Wednesday activity, not the same as it's been all summer. There are going to be some meetings and some plans. So again, we'll definitely post that on our website. And of course, that will be on their website as well. And we have a Stand Up for Science. That's the one I wanted to mention. That's so important. It's coming up on September 16th. So that's put together by the same people that did the Death of Evidence rally last year. So this is across the country. It will be here in front of Wesley Hall, September 16th at 12:30. Stand Up for Science. And I think that's what we have on our agenda right now.
All right. Well, thanks again, you two, for coming down. Mary Robinson and Dennis Le Nevu.
I can't say it either.
I can't get it right. You know, I'm French too, you know.
Le Nevu en français.
Le Nevu. Okay. All right. Merci beaucoup. You're listening to People of Interest on CKUW 95.9 FM.